Yo, guys.
How's it going?
What's going on, everyone?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Nothing much. Excited to learn about you guys. I did a very touch-up, but I was kind of fascinated and interested. So, selfishly, I like to do these spaces because I it's like a time that I can devote like an hour to learning some stuff that I don't know already. So, pretty excited for that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, we can start whenever. I mean, I don't know, like... We could wait a little bit. We can get it going. A lot of people listen to the recording, so I'm not quite sure where everyone's at this morning, but wherever you're at, it's still early in the States here, I guess, but all good.
Yeah, thank you for having us. I really appreciate your interest, especially as we launch V2. It's been quite a journey getting to this point, and quite a few technical achievements have been done to get Warp to a state of what it is. I'm fine waiting a little bit, but I'm also fine starting.
We could just chit chat. Well, we'll give it a couple more minutes, but
sounds good.
But yeah, we'll do like intros and all that in like a couple minutes here. It's awesome though. Like I was checking it out, and I mean, I don't want to keep talking about stuff because it'll probably be just best to just do it, but. Yeah, I'm all about automation. I love AI. So anything that can make my life more easier or just an overall better experience, I'm all for it. And I'm very interested to dive into what you guys are doing and see it all come to play. Because one of the awesome things and things I've been blessed in with my journey in crypto, more specifically Cosmos, is I essentially have had private conversations with every team in Cosmos, especially if they're an L1. I think I've talked to every L1 on private calls and Telegram groups and on Twitter spaces. And then what I like to do, I've been doing this my entire journey, is that I like to help put pieces of the puzzle together. So, you know, like this conversation and everything I learned, maybe in a month or two from now, someone's trying to do something and I'm like, hey, let's set this group up and you guys can work together on some stuff and, you know, collaborate. And that's the true beauty of interoperability. You know, like other ecosystems outside of Cosmos throw the words around, the fancy acronyms and DPIN and whatever else you want to throw in there. But, you know, a lot of it's just smoke. But in Cosmos, it really is very communitarian and collaborative. So, you know, that's what I'm excited for today.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think, you know, there's a lot of tech that's being built in Cosmos. And what I've noticed a lot of the times is it gets exported to other communities and then they just kind of rebrand it into something of their own. So maybe this cycle is going to be the time that, you know, Cosmos really shines and then people are able to experience, you know, the tech and where it's coming from directly from the source.
Most definitely. I mean, I can just tell you my experience. So last year I went to ETH Denver. There was one Cosmos event the entire trip. And like, if anyone's been to ETH Denver viewpool or haven't, I'll give you a TLDR. It's essentially the Super Bowl of crypto events. It's just like 2 weeks long and every random place in Denver, whether it's a restaurant or a warehouse or whatever, it has some sort of crypto event. So there's so many of them. It's just insane. Like it's all day long. Everywhere is a crypto event or a meetup or, have some drinks or whatever you want to call it. And last year there was one, I think maybe two max Cosmos events. This year, every day, there was like two or three, literally every day, like everywhere, like every single day. So it's growing. You know, a lot of people are talking about Cosmos and maybe some of that has to do with like the success of Celestia and Dimension and some other solutions to essentially make EVM better, you know, but
people are talking about it. I know they are. So yeah, I firmly believe that. And you could just look like at the charts and see the correlation and what's performing well. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think in Cosmos, like, I don't know what's not performing well. So there's that, but I guess we'll get into it. So quick little intro on myself. I'm Cosmos Haas. Kind of, if you've been listening, I've already somewhat did my intro, but I've been in this space essentially since COVID. And my background's in accounting and finance. I had a little bit of a technical background as well. I've been just like a tech fan forever. I've literally loved technology. And COVID happened. It was the first time in my life that I actually had some free time to just relax and be a human and not be just so on the hamster wheel, so to speak. So yeah, it just kind of like dug into crypto, did the traditional Bitcoin and Ethereum, and then kept asking myself questions and like, man, this isn't really good. It kind of is clunky and slow and doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I was like, there's got to be something better that connects everything. And it's just like this ubiquitous thing here. And then that was like right when Osmosis launched in June of 21. And basically was a fanboy. First time I ever had Telegram and Twitter and everything else. And it just really was like just having a good time. It was a really good experience. And started helping out on Telegram, and rest assured, like all these moving parts happen. And then I started like helping out in crypto officially. And now I'm full-time crypto. And it was all because I just took the leap of faith and just was having a lot of fun. Now, don't get me wrong. I've done thousands of hours of research and all that, but I pretty much want to always be a source of knowledge and help community and give back the things that I've learned. And be a safe place. Like, people and teams can come talk to me about anything and tell me literally anything, and I will never tell anyone unless they want me to. And yeah, so that's been my journey. It's been amazing, man. I love Cosmos. I love IBC. I love everyone that's doing something with the technology. And like, the whole premise of Cosmos is just like, to me, it's like a beautiful thing. Like, these people build out this SDK, which is like a blueprint, and they don't charge you like other ecosystems. You could just like tap into it, and also you can alter it. And the word modularity gets thrown around a lot now, but you know, we've been talking about modularity for, you know, I know I have been for 3 years now. And it's just super cool to see like your guys, I don't really know too much about you, but you can like deploy and build, and there's use cases that you could do that you can't do in other ecosystems, but with Cosmos you can. So that was my long-winded intro. I don't know why it was that long, but I apologize to the listeners, but that's me.
Hey, great to meet you. Is your name Haas? Can we call you Haas, or would you prefer Cosmos Haas?
Yeah, so that's my nickname. I've been going by Haas for like 20 years, and then I just threw the word Cosmos in front of it. But yeah, I go by Haas. Like, all my friends and stuff call me Haas. But yeah, that's
fine. Yeah, great to meet you, Haas. I guess we can start with intros. My name is Vlad. I'm the apps team lead here at TFL. And what that means is I do a lot of the architecture and the design and some coding for the enterprise DAO, which is an enterprise tooling suite. But more importantly today, Warp Protocol, which is a decentralized automation engine. And the idea for this came through a need to automate things on the blockchain. And for those of you that are familiar, for a long time now, it's been very difficult to get things automated on the blockchain, and sometimes impossible. And now, one of the main examples that we always go back to is limit orders. Now, these might seem very intuitive, very kind of default to every centralized exchange you go to. But you'll notice that up until very recently, there haven't been limit orders on DEXs. Like, it's just been swaps. And so if you wanted to catch a price, you'd have to sit there and kind of wait for the price to reach your desired level, and then you'd swap manually. And the only way to do this in an automated way is if you knew how to code bots and you could just make your own bot. And now, obviously, you can see how this is not really a good solution for DEXs who want to implement limit orders, because number one, if you have a bot, that means there's like the risk of centralization that just kind of sits on one server. If that gets shut down, your entire automation service gets shut down. And so thus we created Warp, and Warp serves as a tool to automate any function on the blockchain given any condition. And so we can go a bit more in detail about that. But that's kind of my intro and the intro of the protocol. And then with us today, we have Georgie on his account. And I believe Leonie is manning the Warp Protocol account. So I'll leave it to them to give their intros.
Yep. My name is Georgie. I'm one of the core devs at TFL. I've been here for two plus years. So I worked initially on Anchor Protocol and then became a part of the apps team. And at some point, Vlad and I decided it's time to build Warp. And I've been leading the protocol's development ever since then.
Yeah, then lastly, it's me, Leonie. I'm the marketing associate at TFL, and I'm leading the Warp marketing. That's why I'm joining here from the protocol account today.
So I always like to ask, like, how do you guys meet each other?
Through TFL. We all kind of just applied to TFL and became employees, and now we're working on the same project.
Nice. Yeah, so I mean, like, from a user perspective, because one of the things that I do in this space, and I think people kind of enjoy it, is you guys seem fine, but a lot of times I'll have developers or teams on. They're very eclectic, very socially awkward. They're talking their lingo and their dev talk, and some people are just like, "What the hell are these people even talking about?" So since I've spent so much time with developers and things like that, I understand what they're saying. Or if I don't, I know what the question to ask them. So I just like that. Just come out swinging. Like, what is Warp Protocol? Like, why should people care as a user?
Yeah, so let's start with like a human readable, I guess, description that I can provide. And then if we want to get into the technicals, I'll give that over to Georgie. How's that sound?
Yeah, I like that too. Okay. That sounds good.
Cool. So as I started with before, Warp is a decentralized automation engine. So as previously mentioned, there's a lot of things on the blockchain that you want to automate, but you just can't. Just because of the way that blockchains are structured, they don't really have a mechanic or like an easily accessible mechanic by which you can automate various tasks. And now the example that we provided earlier are limit orders. And now what do limit orders consist of? They consist of a price that you want to buy at and the actual action of buying at that price. And Warp Protocol splits this this grand task of setting a limit order and executing it into a warp job. And the warp job consists of a condition and the actual message. Now the condition, of course, is the price. So imagine I want to swap USDC for Luna, but I want to wait till the price dips under a dollar, let's say. I would set my condition to be, okay, I want Luna to be under a dollar. And then my message would be the swap itself. So once Luna hits under a dollar, I want to swap whatever amount of USDC I put in into that Luna. And now there's various different things that you can do with this. You can build grid bots, because obviously that's just basically a collection of limit orders. You could build different keeper mechanisms. Protocols use a lot of bots sometimes to update their oracles, to rebalance their positions. All of that are things that you have to do in the future, but you just can't automate it in a decentralized way. And so Warp allows you to put whatever your intent is into the Warp job queue. So it allows you to put in a job, and then when that job's conditions get executed, then anybody can execute that job. And by anybody, I mean literally anybody. So it could be me, it could be you, it could be someone with a bot that is just kind of looking through the Warp jobs to see which ones could be executed. But what they get from this is the reward. And every job comes with a reward where if you execute it, you get paid for executing that job. And so you're incentivized to kind of do that and scope the job queue, go through that list, and then execute it. Right now, again, the most popular case is limit orders. We've had a few thousand of these get executed. Astroport is using limit orders at the moment. And we're looking to expand to protocols like, there's a few protocols on Injective, as well as Quasar on Osmosis. And so Quasar provides a lot of automation services, and they believe that Warp would help them achieve those goals?
Yeah, I think in ride-chains in this space too, they're all about AI and automation and like AI SaaS products. And like, I think another use case that you kind of, but I'm sure it's pretty simplistic, is being able to set like DCA strategies. You know, like I think a lot of people like that. Like, because my background's in traditional like finance and accounting and things like that, and a lot of people just like to sit and forget. And you know, even with people that invest in stocks and stuff, right? They just like, okay, every 1st and 15th of the month, I want you to buy, you know, whatever, $500 of Tesla each, you know, every 2 weeks or once a month or whatever. And it doesn't seem like, I mean, there are, I know Calc Finance does that, but there doesn't seem to be too much of that, especially in Cosmos, like kind of those type of strategies where someone could just, now we have like Kado and some other fiat on ramps, but I think that would be a really good implementation, like a standard, right? For every DEX or protocol should just have DCA strategy. So someone basically can have like a smart wallet and not have to know anything about crypto, but they could just be able to be like, you know what? Instead of just using a centralized exchange, right? They could just be like, all right, I'm going to do, you know, $500 a month to buy whatever, a Rye or Luna or whatever they want, or a combination of both, and they can just like run it through you guys. I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right with that. And that's something that we're working on as well. So implementing examples of DCAs and how you can put that in. And you could do things like, you know, NFT floor sweeps, like if you want an NFT in particular, but you want to wait till, you know, the floor gets down to a certain level. Maybe you don't care about the type of NFT you're buying or which one in particular. An example for me is like, I want to buy a Bad Kid. I want to wait till the price goes a bit lower, but I don't want to constantly sit there and look at the price, right? Like I just want to put in that order to get me any Bad Kid when it reaches, I don't know, less than 100K stars, if it ever gets there. I could put that in and then it just buys any NFT from that collection when the price hits that desired point. And so again, DCAs, grid bots, limit orders, floor sweeps, like any of that would be possible with Warp.
Yeah, and like what I would add here, I think it's important not to tie Warp to concrete use cases. Like Warp is more like a virtual machine than like an automation protocol. So like Warp allows you to like combine multiple like quote unquote synchronous batches of transactions into an asynchronous workflow. So like, for example, what you could do, you mentioned DCA strategies, right? Like you can create a job that's like not only DCAs your asset from a stablecoin, but like in between, while your funds are locked, it deposits them to like a lending market or like, I don't know, to Athena or like wherever you can get some APR for that sitting funds, and you can create like a yield bearing DCA strategy or like whatever you want, like whatever you know how to program, you can deploy it as a Warp job and it will work in that manner as you defined it. So like use cases are like just what we can currently come up with knowing like DeFi and other on-chain use cases. But it's pretty much limitless in a way that like if a new thing would come and be like, let's say a different thing such as like NFTs, but like NFTs exist for some time. But let's say a new like asset type is created or like some new thing comes to the blockchain. Warp is going to like support that thing as well because it doesn't care about a specific use case or a specific asset. Like it's literally an engine that executes things, that executes intents.
Nice. I accidentally, I had a Twitter that rugged me. They, a ridechain wanted to come up and I accidentally hit report and remove because I was typing a message and it like was where my thumb was at. I feel bad. But hopefully they can get back in the room. I don't know how that works on Twitter side of things. But anyhow, no, that's awesome. Like that's what it's all about. Like I like, you know, for me, like I take dollar cost averaging and strategies to another level. Like I don't like the okay, buy at certain points. To me, it's like, well, if you believe in, like you were saying about the Bad Kids being under 100K, you've set the threshold. Well, I also like to do, well, if I believe in a protocol or a whatever, my investment, and it gets down to this price, I want to actually buy more of it at a USD value, because then it makes my cost, my initial spot, less over time. So yeah, that's what I was thinking too, like having some strategies like that and being able to execute. Now, can you tell me more about, because I was looking at it, what's the like the jobs thing that you guys have listed there, like on your protocol?
Yeah, so Georgie can go a bit more into detail on that.
Yeah, so jobs are essentially like a execution unit. So like it's a bundle of a condition, which is like a Boolean resolvable like program. It returns like either true or false at a given moment. And the other part are your transactions. So it's literally like an asynchronous transaction. You can look at warp as like being what promises are in JavaScript, right? So it allows you to execute a transaction in the future based on a condition you define. And we created a syntax so that like you can create an arbitrary condition with on-chain data.
Okay, yeah, because that was like the talk of town in Denver, like account abstraction, but like orchestration and like doing, you know, like, I don't know, say like five different tasks all together in one. And I know like there's a thing on a ride chain called Orchai. They do that. They call it recipes, where you can basically create all these different things. Instead of like the user having to do like five or six or 10 different tasks, you can create like a, call it a recipe, and do like 15 different things. Like you were saying earlier, like, okay, we're going to buy Luna when it goes to this, but then after that, then you're going to send it over here and do this, this, and this. And that seems like the way the space is moving forward to, you know, in general. So yeah, because I've noticed from my experience, and then being like, I'm in so many different communities, so many people, I call them ETH heads. They're so overwhelmed when they come into Cosmos. Like they're so used to everything just being like, oh, everything's on, you know, Ethereum, and you just do one thing, and their knowledge of how to do things is not there. But like the average Cosmos user, just because you have to, maybe over time you won't have to anymore, but if you've been in Cosmos for a while, you actually have been trained how to do a lot of different crypto activities through multiple chains and different transactions and a million clicks, if you will. And I think that will change, and stuff like what you guys are doing, it will change it, because it's not about the small subset of humans that are actually in crypto, which is such a small amount. It's about how do we cater to all the mom and dads and the people that want to kind of chill out and not need to take a, you know, master course on how to like participate in crypto. And this is things that will, like, it, you know, it's crazy to say that, but it's little things like this that over time you know, creates a better environment for this space as a whole. So shout out to you guys for doing what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and I think in comparison to the recipes you mentioned, in those recipes you chain executions together, but then, or tasks together, but you execute them all at once, at least how I understood it. And the thing with warp is you can specify certain triggers. You can chain different executions, but the trigger can be something different. So I think that's one, yeah, really good feature warp has. And I also think, coming back to what we mentioned earlier, that smart contracts, they need an external trigger to be executed. So you can also think of warp protocol as a marketplace to kind of incentive align two parties to make those executions. So you have the side of the creators that want a job or an execution, and then create a job. That's coming back to your former questions about what job actually are. And then you have the other side of the keepers, people running keeper bots, who get a certain reward that the job creator places to execute that job. So it's kind of like a marketplace to make it incentive aligned for people to do those asynchronous executions.
Nice. Yeah. So like what's on your roadmap for the rest of this year?
It's primarily integration. So we have the tech there. And now we're doing a bunch of calls and a bunch of meetings with protocols, such as, you know, a few protocols that I mentioned on Injective, as well as, you know, Quasar on Osmosis. We actually have a proposal right now going up that should finish voting sometime this week that approves Warp to go on Osmosis. And so once that is there, we'll be able to integrate directly into Quasar for their strategies and rebalances and stuff like that. But what you can expect is to see a lot more integrations coming this year.
Nice. Yeah, I like Quasar. I've done some Twitter spaces with them and met those guys and things like that. It's awesome. Like that. It's really because my background, I've done taxes for people that like every sort of financial wherewithal range that you can possibly have as a human, including like billionaires. And most people, they just don't want to do all the work. You know, like they're just like, here's my money, make me some money. And kind of like let me be, you know, kind of piss off in a sense. So it's no different. Like, yeah, people in this space right now probably want to do more hands-on stuff, but that's not the way it will be in the future. So you need all this, like all these like rail, like these little tooling needs to be there. And yeah, like we need to get more and more people off of centralized exchanges and go explore, you know, different protocols. And how do you do that? We need to have all the same attributes that a centralized exchange can have in addition as easy and simplistic and less hands-on and just more just like tell computer what you want it to do as opposed to like you need to know what the computer has to do and kind of wiggle around that way. Because I mean I see it all the time, whether it's through different protocols or whatever the application is, as soon as there's like any friction, you lose so many people. You just lose so many people every single step of the way, you know. And then the new people, they're just so used to it being simple, you know. And that's the way we need this space to go. And it's getting better. I know my experience in crypto over the last 3 years, it's substantially better. It's still a long way away to make it where you can, you know, tell your parents or whatever, like, hey, this is how you do it, you know, without them, you know, just being so confused. So anyways, I'm just rambling. Yeah. So now, like, how long have you guys been deployed for?
We've been deployed. Our V1's been out for, I think, almost a year or about a year now. And we just released our V2 just a couple weeks ago. And so V2 comes up with a lot more features, and I actually want Georgie to talk about that, a lot more features that we wrote in to make Warp even more powerful and enable even more use cases.
So nice. So I was just kind of thinking outside the box. So like, if I'm a user, I'm sure you guys have this or will have this, but if I'm a user and say I have a wallet and then I'm like, you know what? I have another wallet, or maybe my wife has a wallet, and I don't know, like we're talking about these parameters, but like I'm going to take profits at whatever sort of range, like say whatever Bitcoin or something. And then, but I want the proceeds to be sent to this other wallet. Like, are you guys doing anything like that?
Yeah. So you absolutely can write something like that using Warp. And so again, Warp can do basically anything that you program it to do. You can picture it more like a programming language than any particular use case.
Okay. So you said you were doing that in Java, right? Is that what it is?
It's actually a set of smart contracts. So it's written using Rust, but we have an SDK that you can use to create jobs, which is written in JavaScript. So you can use JavaScript to create these Warp jobs, you know, put them onto your UI and whatnot, and then they will be able to be executed from there.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, I already got a message. So if you guys, I don't know what your bandwidth is today, but if you guys wanted to have a call about some cool things that we can all do together, that would be kind of cool. Because, like, I think, yeah, you guys are onto something for sure, and it's awesome.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I just see so many different random use cases, and then what's awesome about this is that it can evolve into other things, you know, like you were talking about. It doesn't have to just necessarily be financial instruments. It could be stuff with NFTs. Like, there's just so many cool things that you could do. And then, you know, being, I'm sure the smart contracts are Cosmos, and you're essentially like in this playground. Most chains are obviously Cosmos and Cosmos. So, you know, there's so many things that you could do, which is like so cool. I don't think people, like random people, probably don't realize it, but like it's a very powerful thing what you guys are doing. Like, that's what, sadly, I know you're from the Terra side, but when like Luna and UST happened, the crash happened, I kind of pivoted like my mindset, and I was like, I'm looking at all infrastructure plays, like not that I'm not a degen still and love finance and all that, but I'm like, I'm looking for like automation, AI, stuff with GPUs, and just like, you know, DPIN before it was called DPIN, but like stuff like that. And I love stuff like this, because one of the things that like Arise doing, because it's like AI based. So say like I came up with this, like, I don't know if you guys are doing this or if maybe we could all do it together somehow, but like if you created some like really cool strategy, right? But it's like, well, I want to share that with someone, but they should have to pay me some sort of royalty, just like almost you know, like an NFT or whatnot. And then people can use that same particular strategy that's like yielding me whatever, say 10% or whatever. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool to do something like that too.
Yeah. So one interesting use case that we've been talking about with some DEXs, including Astroport, is the ability to do yield bearing limit orders. And we're kind of exploring this as like, if you have idle capital sitting there and you have an intent to do something with it. So imagine you have like dollars sitting there that you want to DCA into, you know, Luna or the Ori chain coin. It's just kind of sitting there, right? Why not in the meantime move those assets over to something that generates yield? There are some protocols that generate stable yields, like you can, you know, deposit on lending markets and things like that. Be up to the strategy creator to create, you know, how to make that money. But there's a world where you could do yield bearing limit orders, where while you're waiting for your swap to execute, your stable coins or you know, the buy side of your of your trade is actually sitting in a pool that generates yield for it. And then when you're conditioned, when the price is actually at your desired level, it takes it out and automatically swaps it for you. And so while your capital is idle, you can make money on it, and it's as capital efficient as possible, despite still being in a limit order.
Yeah, I know. That's, I always have an itch. Like if I see, I don't care what it is, it could be a small amount or whatever. If it's just like sitting idle, I'm always like, I need to do something with it. And yeah, there's so many different, I don't want to say so many, but there's a decent amount of like borrowing lending protocols where at least you could take your stables and, you know, have it make whatever, even if it's just a few percent, at least it's doing something for you as opposed to just sitting there idle, like you're saying. And even with other assets too, like whether it's a DEX token or, you know, just your staking rewards. Like I know there's like some auto compounding off C things like Yieldmos and Restake, which, you know, I'm a big fan of what they're doing too. It would just be cool to just have like a playground of different sort of strategies that you can implement and with automation and kind of sit and forget and, you know, maybe check up on it every so often or something, but as opposed to just always being so hands-on, you know, because I used to love doing all that. Now it's like, all right, I don't want to do any of that. And I would pay, you know, I'll pay service fees. Like I said, my background, people pay significant service fees so they could just be completely hands-off. And I see that being no different in this space. So yeah, man, that's awesome.
We had one interesting use case pop up recently. So Vlad can give you more details because he made that job active. But Enterprise was doing a migration of their storage. So like they created new contracts, the project itself created new contracts, and some data had to be migrated between the two tables. So the previous version and the new version. And we essentially performed that migration by publishing a single warp job that iterates through the entire storage for every DAO and migrates their users' data step by step in a permissionless manner. So you can imagine like how useful that can be, because like you can tie that mechanism to a governance proposal and have the entire mechanism be on chain, right? Because right now you have no real way to ensure people that what you said happened with the storage on the chain. You just trust whoever manages the code base, right? With Warp, like, that's an option.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things too with AI fascinates me with DAOs and things like that too. So you can have like parameters set it where people can vote. They can set their terms in there, kind of like a script almost in your preferences. And then you can also do things based off of like on-chain activity. So you could say, okay, if this protocol is trying to do this, then based off of this, then it's going to vote this way. And that would be kind of cool too. Like just all sort of AI implementations through automations and things like that. So that's awesome. So I forget what else I was going to ask you. I was just thinking and I just lost my train of thought because I'm just trying to do something at the same time. So like put it this way, if you were to go like on another chain, like generally how long does that take to implement that? So you're like, we're live on your chain. Like what's the timetable on something like that? They say it's a cause of one
chain. Less than a day. So we just have to, assuming that it's permissionless, right? Like if we have to go through governance, then it's is dependent on the governance timelines for voting. But if it's a permissionless chain and if we have a use case, then deploying Warp itself onto the chain takes, very minimal time. It's just literally uploading the contracts, instantiating them, and rolling out the keepers or the initial keeper set. I think what takes longer is the actual implementations for applications. So for us to go and deploy on a chain, we actually need to have some use cases, something that, an application on your chain wants to build with it. And then once we have that, we'd build something out on your testnet, test that out. And once that's ready, we would put that up on the mainnet.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, like it's just creating like a playground environment. That's what it's all about. Like that's what I like. It's just fun, creating like strategies and things that you could do and that you've... Like, put it this way, I've done so many different transactions in crypto and I have like my own strategies that I feel like that are really good, but there's no way, I don't want to say I want to do everything to monetize that, but it would be kind of cool to do that, right? It's like NFT artists, they create cool collections and maybe some of them take off and flourish. And every single time like someone buys that NFT, they get whatever the royalty is, 5% or something. It'd be kind of cool to do that with like different sort of strategies throughout, say Cosmos, like all these different ways. It's like, oh, there, I know, during this timetable, there's like an arbitrage opportunity. And like, I do this, and this, and then I take that, then I send it over here, but like create this cool strategy. And then just in the background, you guys are just like doing it. And then maybe somehow the person can sell it, right? It's like, okay, if you want to use this, then you have to pay a small fee or like maybe some sort of like you get like a small micro fraction of whatever the profits are or whatever. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, but I think that those are like cool use cases that potentially can come to fruition down the road. And then that just makes it. So then you get more people involved too. It's like, okay, well now I can monetize that. Right. Cause like, that's why there's fund managers. That's literally what a fund manager does. They charge a service fee because they're like, hey, we're going to get you 7% or 9% this year, every year, year over year. And then people literally pay 7%. Like they'll pay 7% of their total profit sometimes. It's crazy. But like, I don't see why that can't be a thing in this space as well.
Also circling back on the chain part, I just wanted to quickly mention, apart from Terra, Warp is also already live on Neutron and Injective. And I think it was mentioned earlier, we have a governance proposal app on Osmosis. So probably sometime next week, Warp should also be deployed on Osmosis.
Yeah, so you guys got all the big hitters. I love all of those. I love everyone that you just mentioned right there. So that's awesome. Like Osmosis, honestly, like if it's crazy to say, shout out to Osmosis. Like if Osmosis didn't exist, I probably wouldn't be on this conversation, this call right now, and be kind of over crypto. But when it was getting kind of to the point earlier when I was mentioning, it was just like crypto was kind of just clunky and archaic to me when I first was in it for a while. And then Osmosis launched and it just like aesthetically looked cool. It worked really well. And then you could actually understand what IBC is. It's like, because until then, IBC was kind of like an idea. It really wasn't being used at all. And then Osmosis launched and it was like, it like with the playground term, it's like a playground opened up. And then it was like all these different relayers and chains and people sending to and from. It was kind of like a meetup, right? Like everyone meets there and does like some sort of financial transaction. And yeah, so like when that happened, I really was like fascinated with like IBC and Cosmos and started learning about every single little nuance that I can potentially learn about in Cosmos. And I think it's awesome to see how resilient it is. And like shout out to like Cosmos as a whole, because I know you guys, it doesn't sound like, were you, ask you this personal question, were you guys deploying before the Luna UST crash happened or was it after? You said a year, so it would have been after.
Yeah. So we actually work at TFL, right? So before the crash happened, we were primarily focused on Luna UST. And then after that, we were kind of trying to figure out what things to build. And then Warp eventually ended up solving a lot of our issues that we had with other applications that needed automations. And we wanted to make things as decentralized as possible, right? Like we don't want to have any centralized component within our applications. And so thus we decided to build Warp.
Nice. Yeah, it was really nice to see. It was unfortunate, you know, what happened, but it is what it is. Like whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger. But it was really cool to see all the teams be able to withdraw the storm, if you will, and kind of find their place. And if, you know, if they relocated, they relocated, but everyone's kind of, you know, back at it now. And and Terrace, you know, I think it's a strong ecosystem and it's still awesome. So it's really cool to see that everyone is still doing their thing from the community and from the team's perspective and everyone building and whatnot. So yeah, Cosmos is, I think it's even stronger because when it happened, it really kind of, from my perspective, showed how resilient and strong IBC was because it worked. It was like kind of an unfortunate circumstance that happened, but there, you know, it's so many transactions from all the different ecosystems and from to and from Terra's ecosystem. And it's just, it worked. Like, and it was kind of like, well, we're battle tested. Like this is how many transactions just happened from this blockchain to that blockchain in this amount of time frame, and it worked. So it was like, it was a pure example of like IBC is the way. And I've been preaching that for forever now. It's just like, my thesis was like this. It was like, if crypto is going to go to where we believe it's going to go, like IBC is going to be an integral part of that we want to call it like a layer of the internet or whatever you want to call it. I think there's like seven layers of the internet. It's like, this is going to be a layer of crypto. And it just made sense to me. It was just like, you just click a button and it works. And it like, other things you have to work, like I had so many issues with other bridges like in the past, and it was like I lost some money before and stuff didn't work and I paid so much in fees, and it was just like this isn't the future, right? And then IBC was a thing and it was like, to me, this is the future of how like blockchains are going to communicate. So yeah, and then it's cool to see like your teams like yourself being able to just kind of like, you know, tap into all this and you know, create cool use cases cross chain and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think I got a lot out of the conversation. I don't necessarily know if I have any other particular questions. Like, I understand it. Now I'll be able to explain this to everyone now, like how it works and what the benefits are and things like that. I guess from like the perspective of how people get in touch with you guys, like what's the best way? Are you guys a Discord team, a Telegram, or both, or how's that work?
Sorry, can you repeat that real quick?
Yeah, I was saying from like a community perspective, like what's the best way of like kicking it with you guys or asking questions? I said, are you guys like a Discord team, a Telegram group, or both?
Oh, right. So I'll actually let Leonie take that.
Yeah, we do have both. I think the easiest way is to go to our Twitter profile. I mean, you can click just on the icon right here or go to warp_protocol. And there we have links to the website, which is warp.money, or to the app where you can create test jobs, which is app.warp.money. And you'll find links there to all our socials. We have both Discord and Telegram, and we also have a contact form specifically for projects and protocols who want to get in touch for integrations.
Nice. So do you guys have any like closing thoughts of what, you know, you're looking forward to, or just hell, whatever you've been excited about, whether it's with you guys or just other teams or protocols and or whatever? Like, I'm not sure. I know, I'm just excited in general, man. Like, I just think this is like an amazing year. Obviously, I try not to be too enamored with prices, but I do realize that when prices are going up, people are in a better mood. So from that perspective, and the community and just engagement, and you know, price does bring in new people, which that to me is more exciting. Whenever like someone reaches out to me and I can tell they're brand new, I really enjoy seeing new people come into the space. And unfortunately, that's usually when prices are doing better, right? So that's what I'm looking forward to this year. I'm looking forward to just like everything. And just like, I think crypto as a whole is getting a better rap. It seems like on like the US side of things, a lot of these people that were kind of shouting and pouting about crypto are kind of getting on board now. And sadly, that has to do with like Larry Fink and Grayscale being in the space, and they kind of just get what they want. And now it's like the tone is kind of changing, hopefully, and it seems like we're headed in the right direction in this space as a whole. So like, that's what I'm looking forward to. And so I don't know if you guys have any closing thoughts, or like from a tech perspective, or a protocol or a team or application, like what's exciting you guys, obviously except for like what you guys are building now, because that's exciting as well. So
yeah, so I want to close this with saying I'm a UX maxi. So the thing you mentioned about Terra back in, you know, let's say the glory days, what really made it special was that UX, was the fact that everything worked, and everything worked really well, and that it was just intuitive to use. And I think the path forward for Cosmos is to just go really deep on that idea, and just abstract things away, like abstract the chain that you're on, abstract the fee tokens that you use, just make it so that when a person goes onto your app, it's just them and your app. And, you know, the chain, all of the gas fees, all of the tokens and stuff like that don't matter if those aren't part of your core product. I think, you know, Warp is one of the products that is trying to do that by, you know, automating things so that you don't have to sit there all the time. I think, you know, Skip is doing a really good job with, you know, their routers, and we have middleware like packet forwarding middleware and IBC hooks and ICA and all this stuff that allows us to abstract the chain away, abstract the actions away. And I think that that is a really great benefit that Cosmos has, is the fact that we can just add all these modules. And I think if we prioritize adding modules that simplify people's lives, make the interchain feel like one chain, and just abstract away all of the complexities, that's when we're going to reach, you know, a massive point of success with Cosmos, and people are really going to realize, you know, what the benefits of using our chains is.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Like, I know when I first started at Osmosis, like, people would come over to the decks and be like, where's my Atom at? You know, it was like, well, you have to send it over here first. And it was like mind blowing to them, right? You have to explain that, because they're so, and this is from people that have been in crypto. It's not some person that's like off the streets, like brand new, like day one of crypto. It's someone that's probably been in Ethereum for several months or whatever. They're like, where's my Atom at? You know, and you still get that. You see a lot of, you know, I like I said, I'm in so many different communities, mainly on Telegram. I'm in Discord, but I am not active whatsoever in Discord. I'm a Telegram guy. But anyhow, I'm in all these groups, and you know, I just like see the vibes in general, or like the most commonly asked questions or confusions and things like that. And I kind of note or see if it's getting any better, and it's just like random stuff like that I see. but you still get that from people that come over from like Ethereum. And it's kind of cool to see all the different implementations of MetaMask being implemented as well, like throughout Cosmos. Like I see like Mystic Labs is here. They build out snaps, MetaMask snaps. And it's kind of cool that like people, whether you're like a MetaMask user or not, like my whole premise of like this space is just whatever you enjoy, just use that, right? Like I've used every freaking wallet pretty much imaginable. I have my preferences and all that, but I don't feel like there should ever be a reason why a user should have to go from one wallet to another by force. It should just be like, well, why can't someone just build out this wallet, make it better, or, you know, make it interoperable with every chain, right? It's like, I think that would be the future too, because that's like a really big friction point is the wallets. And maybe in the future, I know people are working on it, people can just have smart wallets where if they don't really want it to be as secure and have to know like seed phrases or whatever, they could just like sign in through their Google and not even have to know it's like a MetaMask or a Station or a Kepler or whatever wallet it is. Just like, it's just their email address or something. And just make it easy for people, because people aren't going to be like, oh yeah, let me just like write down this seed phrase that's 24 words or 12 words and then I got to know it. And it's just, that's not futuristic, to be honest with you. Like I would still want to do that. But like again, from my earlier conversation, like we're such a small subset of people. We're kind of all lunatics and wild and crazy. And like kind of how they were back in 2000 when a lot of the mainstream media was like, the internet's for weirdos, it's a scam and stuff like that. We're kind of reliving that just, you know, 20 years later or so. It's just like we're not as a scam, but just more like we're enthusiasts, and not everyone's enthusiastic about technology. So we need to make it so easy for people. And then like to take that to another step, like what you're saying about Cosmos, 100% agree. Like people should just be able to like go in Cosmos, whatever app, their favorite app chain or whatever, but then be able to experience everything through kind of like the same interface. And a lot of that, again, would probably have to come down to the wallets being better. But yeah, totally 100% agree with that.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Haas. I think that smart accounts, account abstraction, stuff like that is in the works in Cosmos at the moment. And so really looking forward to the day where, you know, I can pitch this to, my parents, you know, even my grandparents, and they'll be able to use this tech without having to learn all the complications regarding seed phrases, regarding all of this signing and stuff like that. And that they could just, you know, sign up with an email, sign up with their phones and things like that. As long as, you know, people like us, people that do care more about like the security aspect, always have the opportunity to take that route, then I think, you know, abstracting is always the way to go and always the way forward.
Yeah, I mean, like, think about it, right? I mean, when you go to, say, like a shopping mall or a plaza, if they still exist wherever you're at, who knows? But like you go to like an outlets and there's like 10 different stores there and like you're with your significant other or whatever, and you're like hopping through like four or five different stores. Imagine every time you went into a store, you needed a different wallet. It's like, oh, let me go back to the car and get another wallet because I can't go into the store without this particular wallet. Like it's just a nuisance. It's like the same thing digitally. It's like, oh, well, I'm on Ethereum and I need a MetaMask. And then even if you're in EVM, it's so annoying. You go from, say, Ethereum to, I don't know, Polygon or whatever. Like you physically have to manually change the network, which is so annoying. Like that's one cool thing about Cosmos, is like that's kind of not a thing. It just does it. Maybe for the very first time ever, you just need to add that network to your wallet. And then after that, you never need to do that again. But it's just like, yeah, Matt, you know, okay, well, I'm in EVM world, I need a MetaMask. And then I'm over on this particular chain in Cosmos. It only really works good with Kepler. Or, well, it's not a big chain. So like Kepler, especially on mobile, it's like really not going to work. So I need to go get a Leap wallet, or I need an O wallet, or like, you know, it's really annoying. And I do it because I just like, I'm in the space and I want to explore everything. But I know that most people are not going to do that. They're not going to be like, let me get 7 wallets, you know, just to go like hang out in Cosmos and see everything. It's just annoying, you know. Cool that you can import your seed from one wallet to another and they're all kind of compatible in the space, but it is so annoying. I can't emphasize it enough. And then another thing too, that the space, it's starting to get better,
but I don't know how anyone could do anything just through mobile. And I get that like most users are only going to be on mobile, and that's just like how life is and the world is, but it's so tough. I have 3 monitors, used to have 4. But you know, I have that and I have a million tabs up and it's still annoying. It's like, oh, I got to go over here. I need this and this and this. And then like also how wallets fight each other. I don't know if you guys run into this or not, but like, I'll create different profiles just for a wallet. And I'm like, all right, whatever ecosystem, say like Solana or something. I'm like, all right, this one's going to be specifically for Solana. This one's going to be for this. And it's because like, I get tired of like an update for a chain happens and then everything gets rugged, or you have to always clear cash. And it's just like, this stuff needs to change. Like it needs to get better. Cause I know if I'm getting annoyed, there's zero chance that some new person's going to be like, yeah, this was a good experience. Let me come back for more, you know? So I agree. And like I was saying earlier, I can't emphasize enough, like things that you guys are doing, it's awesome. It's really cool. And, you know, keep doing good work. And I hope that Warp is on every blockchain in Cosmos. Like, honestly, I think you guys would add value to everyone. I don't know about how that would work from people not being CosmWasm, but it is what it is. Like, CosmWasm is the way to go. So.
Exactly, man.
All right. Well, hey, I did set up I don't know if you guys have seen it or not, but I did set up a group with you guys. So yeah, I think there's some synergies there with you guys. So
yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah, anytime, man. I'm always here to help. I really appreciate the conversation. I think I learned some stuff, and I think that I'm excited to, I guess my last question is like, how would like a user go about like creating something? Like, say I wanted to create a strategy, is there any like submissions, or it's all permissionless? I could just do this myself.
Yeah, you can just do it. It's all permissionless, it all works. And if you need help, again, there's some examples that we recently just added onto the Warp dashboard on Warp v2. So that's app.warp.money. And so you could take a look through those examples. If you know how to code, it's going to be a lot easier for you. This is a product primarily tuned towards developers. And so, yeah, feel free to play around. If you need help, feel free to reach out. We have, you know, Georgie and I who would be happy to help. And yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely give it a whirl, but I appreciate that. And yeah, I just wanted to shout out everyone that came in and was listening, or anyone that listens to the recording. Always reach out if you ever need help. And you know, reach out to the Warp team if you have any questions or concerns or anything as well. I just wanted to thank you guys for your time. And yeah, shout out, man. Have a great rest of your day, evening, night, wherever you guys are located at.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks you for too. Having us on.
Thank you, man.
My pleasure. Take care.
See you.
See you, everyone. Ready? Bye-bye.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerd slap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Really? Worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, this shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here, rewiring features. More critical thinking, huh? Less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shitcoin preachers. Pretending to be teachers, y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rap fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts, and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you, you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the better end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Channel spaces.